Hello and welcome to another interesting episode on the Play Safe Club. Talking to you is Bambi and I'm here with Magnus.
Hi people. Yo, what's up?
How are you doing? And today we come with another interesting topic, natural contraceptives. So the topic is natural contraceptives, the good, the bad and the ugly. So we are talking about every little thing that we know about natural contraceptives, and then we are bringing it to your tables. Yeah, so contraception, I think everyone should know what contraception is.
Yeah, it's now a very talked about topic. A lot of people have talked about it. We've heard it in school in biology class. Mm-hmm. But we still talk about it because it's something that cannot be overemphasized.
Yeah, so that's basically stopping or coming in between having children and sex. Yeah. Yes, so that's what contraception basically means. And then there are types of contraceptions. There's natural one and then there's the artificial one. But today we'll be talking about the natural contraceptives. But we'll mention what artificial ones are. So artificial contraceptives are basically tips that are artificial, they're not natural. They like pills, condoms,
IUDs.
Yeah, they're not natural. The natural ones are preventing pregnancies without the use of medications or any physical devices. So this is like natural, is innate, is you working on these things by yourself. There is no doctor telling you what to do. There is no prescriptions. That's what basically what natural contraceptive means. So it's like controlling when you give birth and what time you give birth, coming in between it by yourself. That's like it.
Natural contraception basically studies the woman's body, mm-hmm, to know when she is fertile and when she's not fertile, and also to study these infertile periods, she's free to have sex. And also these infertile periods could vary from time to time, just slightly anyway, but she has to be able to calculate it well and then know what the times of the month are fertile and the ones which are not fertile.
Okay, so then the fertility awareness methods are based upon knowing when a woman ovulates each month. Okay, so that's like, in order to use it, you need to watch the signs and symptoms that indicate ovulation, because yeah, it's ovulation that calls for pregnancy. When you ovulate and you have sex, unprotected sex, yeah, you tend to get pregnant. So birth control methods, side effects and effectiveness. So there are a variety of birth control options and it can be confusing when choosing the option that works best for you and your partner. So we have few questions that you could ask yourself when considering birth control options. One of them is, how important is STD
protection?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's like the basic question you should ask yourself. How important is it that I protect my health? How is important is it that I don't get HIV? How is important to me that my health is in great shape? That's like the first question you have to ask yourself.
Yeah, very important.
Then another one you ask yourself is, how effective is the birth control type or option? Yeah, because most of them don't have success rates. Their success rates are really, 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 really low. So you have to check how effective it is, the birth control option that you're about to use. So remember, we're talking about natural contraception, yes?
Yeah.
So you check how effective any of the natural contraceptions are, how effective that they are for you to be able to use them. So the next one you're going to ask is, what are the side effects of the type of birth control? All these questions are going to help you in choosing what kind of birth control method you're going to use, knowing the side effects and how effective it is, so that you know what works for you and you don't come and start crying to everybody that, oh, this is what I did. And you have to ask yourself certain important questions. So what are the side effects of the type of birth control that I'm using? The other one you have to ask yourself is the advantages and the disadvantages of this type of birth control. Yes,
referring to natural birth control.
Mm-hmm. So how effective it is, what kind of drug is it, what kind of side effects is it going to give to me, and all of that. And the last one that you're going to ask, the last one on our list, what are the advantages and disadvantages of natural birth control? Because yeah, natural birth control have their advantages and their disadvantages. We're going to give you the advantages of natural contraception, and we're going to give you disadvantages of natural contraceptions to help you to answer a few of the questions that we already true to you. So Magnus is going to tell us the advantages of natural contraceptions and the disadvantages.
All right, the natural contraceptives method of contraception requires that the woman doesn't take any medication or uses any hormonal manipulations. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't need to swallow anything, she doesn't need to take any injection, she doesn't need to be inserted with anything. She just needs to, you know, study her calendar and make notes of those days when she's fertile and those days when she is not fertile. Then there are no procedures or fittings done by a physician. You know, mm-hmm. We don't need any physician to. You could just go to a doctor to help you, you know, calculate all of those times, you know, properly. But you don't need the doctor to perform any procedures on you. Mm-hmm. And lastly, they are very inexpensive. You know, basically, you're not paying for anything. It's just for you to know your calendar, have them mapped out in your diary or journal, and then you keep to it, be very, very disciplined, and mm-hmm. then you're fine to go ahead with. So, as against the natural contraceptives, you don't need to purchase any. Any kids,
yeah, any
or
drugs, so,
you don't take any drugs or whatever. You just need to be
This is not when you're going to say I got pregnant because I don't have money to buy potion or two, it's too expensive.
No.
This, you don't have to pay for this one. Yeah, that's a great advantage it has.
Yeah.
So right on to the disadvantages.
Disadvantages, it could be difficult to estimate or to know precisely when a woman is fertile. You know, these things could change, you know, with each month. So difficulty in predicting when a woman would be fertile, you know, is not certain 100%. So increased chances for planned conception. Then natural conceptions are also ineffective as a form of contraceptions, basically. For example, you talk about coitus interruptus, it might not be exactly efficient, you know, because the partner might not be disciplined enough to withdraw, you know, at that moment. The person might, in fact, withdraw when he has ejaculated already. You know, so that in essence doesn't do anything, you know. So natural methods might not be as effective as possible. And then being unable to have intercourse at certain times of the month can be disadvantageous for women, could form as a disadvantage for women, basically. So sometimes you would want to have sex and you would have to stop yourself, you know, prevent yourself from having sex, you know, because of that. And you might begin to have a lot of psychological breakdown. Sometimes you could now begin to become irritated easily, become very stressed out, and becoming very, very, you know, alone. And a lot of psychological things would just arise from it.
I think generally both men and women, they're going to feel really, you have to wait for this particular time to have sex. It doesn't sit right
for especially for people who really don't enjoy masturbation. They really, you know, find it very, very uncomfortable for that period.
So right about now we are going to go on a break, and when we would be back, we'll be talking about the types of natural contraceptives that there are, that are existing. So stay tuned and hold on for us. Welcome back. This is still us, Magnus and Bambi. We are talking about natural contraceptions, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and everything about natural contraceptions, how effective they are, side effects, what are they, how do they work, what are their disadvantages, what are their advantages. Yeah, and if you can remember clearly, it is a form of contraception whereby there is no form of medication or any of the sort. So right about now, we are talking about the types of natural contraceptive methods. Now, there are a lot of types, yeah. There's the withdrawal method, there's the abstinence, there's calendar rhythm method, basal body temperature method, and then there's the cervical mucus inspection method, yeah. But we're going to talk about three, which are the basal temperature, cervical mucus, and the calendar rhythm method. So, Magnus, what do you think about the calendar rhythm method? And enlighten us, please.
All right. The calendar rhythm method, you know, it's a form of natural contraception that deals, is based basically on subtracting. First of all, the woman has to give an account of 12 previous menstrual cycles.
Yeah.
That is how they come, when they came, and when they ended. So she should be able to note all of these things and make sure that it's for 12 menstrual cycles, for a year. She's supposed to be able to take a note, watch her body, and know when all of this happens. So she'll have an average of when this cycle begins and when the next cycle begins. Then 18 days is subtracted from the shortest menstrual cycle. The shortest menstrual cycle she has experienced, 18 days will be subtracted from this, and 11 days from the longest one.
Okay, well.
Then she can then calculate the total number of days during which she may ovulate. Now, if a woman's menstrual cycle are quite irregular from month to month, there will be a greater number of days during which she might become pregnant. So the higher the irregularity menstrual cycle, the higher the chances of getting pregnant. So you might want to, you know, make sure your menstrual cycle is regular if you want to go into calendar rhythm method. Now, the method is only 80% effective, according to experts, in preventing pregnancy, and when used alone, it's considered outdated and ineffective.
You know, I used to think that when you have, like, you know, when you have hormonal imbalance, there is irregular periods. I used to feel that, oh, okay, you might not get pregnant at all. And I think many of us feel like that, that you might not get pregnant at all, because, I mean, the period is not coming.
And ovulation doesn't occur, which is very important for pregnancy.
Yeah, but here we are hearing that irregular menstruation, when you're irregular, you might actually get pregnant. Yeah, because you don't even know what's going on with your body, yes? So we should be careful. Then the next one will be the basal body temperature method.
Yeah, which is based on the fact that a woman's temperature drops 12 to 24 hours before an egg is released, you know. So that drop in temperature will now signify that an egg has been released, and then within that period the woman should not engage in sexual activity, because at that moment, as the egg is released and goes into the fallopian tube down, it will be expecting anything to come to it, as a sperm. So immediately she engages in sexual activity, fertilization regularly take place. But unfortunately, this temperature difference is not very large, you know. It is less than 1 degree Fahrenheit when the body is at rest. And the basal body temperature method that requires that a woman takes her temperature every morning before she gets out of bed. A special thermometer that is more accurate and sensitive than the typical oral thermometer must be used, and daily temperature variations carefully noted. This must be done every month. You know, once online calculators are available to help a woman chart her basal body temperature. So, to use the basal body temperature as a birth control method, a woman should refrain from having sexual intercourse from the time her temperature drops until about 48 to 72 hours, you know, before the temperature increases again. So within that period, she should refrain from it. After then, you know, we could, because when the egg is released and then it doesn't meet any sperm for a period of time, it will just die, and then the woman is free to, you know, have sex again. So that's about the basal
body temperature. Yeah. So you said special thermometer that's not the regular one that we use.
Yes.
So there's the one that is meant for that.
Yes, there's one that is meant for that. And you know, when you rise in the morning from your bed, your body begins to work. When you are still, you know, lying flat on your bed, your body's relaxed. There's no activity going on. But as soon as you rise up from your bed, your body begins to get active and get used to, you know, being in the day. Moreover, there's daylight. So the daylight now activates your body, and then you are, you know, you are ready and fully charged. And probably that will also increase your body temperature. So that's why it's advised to do it while you are still in bed, so that you know. So basically, some of them, most people use apps on their phone apps that calculate body temperature. And then that is really, really very sensitive and takes, you know, notes of all these minor but temperature changes.
Okay, so when it comes to the apps, I'm not sure about apps that could help you with the temperature, but I know a lot of us use my tracker for that, mm-hmm. to track your menstruation. I can't remember other ones. I can't say other applications that are there, yeah, but I think you could check online. You definitely see those apps because there should be ADs for all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So the next one will be going to the mucus inspection method.
Yeah, so that depends on the presence or absence of a particular type of cervical mucus. The cervix or the cervical, the cervix is high above your vagina, deep there before you get to the uterus. It's like a canal, you know, between the vagina and the uterus or the womb.
Okay.
Now, a woman generally, you know, generates large amounts of watery mucus when than usual just before the release of an egg from an ovary. This so-called egg white cervical mucus stretches up to an inch when pulled apart. Mm-hmm. A woman can learn to recognize differences in quantity and quality in her cervical mucus by examining its appearance on her underwear, pads, and toilet tissue, and she may generally remove a sample of mucus from the vagina using two fingers. So this thing drops. The mucus drops, you know, into the underwear or the pad, the sanitary pad. So you could just, you know,
dip your fingers
into it, and then you press your thumb. You could use your forefinger, you know, dip it into it, then use your thumb and then press on it, and then try to separate your thumb from your forefinger and see if it is watery, if it is elastic, if it is very, very sticky or not. The different textures of this mucus will determine when you are fertile and when you're not fertile. So when it is thick, at that moment no eggs are about to be released, but when it is watery, it signifies that an egg is about to be released from the ovary. So you should be careful at that moment when you want to have sexual intercourse. And she may choose to have intercourse between the time of her last menstrual period and the time of change in the cervical mucus. During this period, it's recommended that she have sexual intercourse only every other day, because the presence of seminal fluid makes it difficult to determine the nature of the cervical mucus.
Okay, all right, so that is that for the mucus inspection method. Then the last one we're going to take on is the symptothermal method. So the symptothermal method combines certain aspects of the calendar, the basal body temperature, and the mucus inspection methods. Not only are all these factors taken into consideration, but also are other symptoms such as the slight cramping and breast tenderness. Sorry. Some women experience lower abdominal discomfort in the area of the ovaries during release of an egg, that is during ovulation. Yeah, most of those side effects that we get when you're on your period and all of that. So that's what the symptothermal method is. You have to track all of those changes in your body. Yeah. So that's basically what natural contraceptions are about. There are other methods that could be used. There are other ones that we didn't mention, and then that are effective, but at the end of the day, I was still chipping that all of these, none of them prevents STIs. So even if you want to stick with natural contraceptions, you don't want to get pills or anything installed in your body, I think you should use a condom. And I'm telling you that you should use a condom. Let condoms be the only contraceptive artificial ones that you're using then.
Well, basically, if you just want to not use a condom anyway, mm-hmm. you could decide to just stick with a partner you are very sure is not doing another person. So and that is, you know, I said that because you might not be entirely sure, but you're very, very sure this person is not having any intercourse or a sexual activity with another individual, just you and the person.
Yeah.
So from time to time you go for HIV HIV and STI tests to know your level, to know your statuses basically. But you know, you stick with just one person, and the safest natural contraception method is abstinence. You know that if you abstain, there will will be no,
there's no need for any or anything. There's no pregnancy. There's no STI. Exactly. Nothing. You're good.
So that's the safe. That one is 100%. It's 100% safe. So if you choose to go for natural contraceptives or contraception, then you know that the best form of natural contraception is abstinence.
Okay. So
and that is not scary at all. It can be done. You can start to abstain. You know? Yeah. It's very. It can. It's
there are
very,
lots
very
of celibate people everywhere.
Yes. You even could, more than we realize.
Yeah. Okay, so would I say duration of time, or how many times in a month, or in how many space of months should one get tested?
You should get tested once every 3 months. Some even do every month, okay. But ideally once every 3 months you should go and get tested, you know, for STIs and HIV basically.
Yeah, because another thing is, you know, when you say someone might say, I didn't have sex these 3 months, so why should I get tested? This one is mainly for women. I don't know about men. Yeah, but toilet infections are there.
Yes, yes.
So
do they not? You could say they're not sexually transmitted.
They're not sexually transmitted. But there is this thing with I was thinking about it one time. Like, you know, when you have sex with someone and probably that person is clean and you know you don't have an STI, but maybe the person gets an infection from you. I mean, where do infections come from? Sometimes you just get it from the toilet and you're carrying it and someone gets into it. It becomes an STI. It's not a toilet infection anymore because it has been transmitted from
one person to the person. Yeah,
so you don't really need to be having sex every week and every day to go and get tested. So you should get tested
every month. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Every 3 months, get yourself tested. Make sure that you're safe, because this is about playing safe, staying safe. Is your health that matters most here. So I won't lie, I learned a lot. I mean, most of these things are foreign to me because yeah, really, really foreign to me. So please, for more on your sex education, just keep listening. And if you've not subscribed, please subscribe. If you have a comment, anything you want to say, a complaint,
a question,
anything at all, please send it in the comment section. We would be there to reply your comments. We won't let your comments last more than 5 minutes. We are waiting for you. Okay, so thank you for having us, and then stay tuned for more. All right, take care of yourself, play safe, and goodbye.
Goodbye.